أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. The praise and thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help. We beg Him for His forgiveness, we believe in Him, and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of Him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds, and He will forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is that guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in His book, قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسِطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ لَهُ وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Say, قُلْ, surely my Lord gives wealth in abundance to whomever He pleases and restricts it to whomever He pleases amongst His slaves. And whatever you spend in His cause, He will replace it. And He is the best of providers. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us, as it was reported by Abi Umama radiallahu an, that he said, O Ibn Adam, O son of Adam alayhi salam, if you were to spend your surplus wealth in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would be better for you. And if you retain it, it would be evil for you. You will not be blamed for keeping wealth according to your needs. But first of all, Spend it, your surplus wealth, on the needy among your family. This is related by Tirmidhi. Or Tirmidhi, rather. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you as I remind myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in His book, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَارَةٌ بِسُوءٍ. Surely, the nafs is inclined towards evil. Except, except those whom my Lord has mercied. Surely, my Lord is ever forgiving, most merciful. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, last Friday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blessed us to discuss al-ihsan, the good. And we should spend a few moments understanding the opposite, the su, the evil. What is good, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, what is truly valuable in this dunya, as we mentioned, is what leads to the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His remembrance, and thus to Jannah, inshallah. What is evil, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says of the shaitan, he is aduun lakum. He is your enemy. He is evil for you. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no such thing, because He created everything. But this thing is the way that we learn what is good. What is good and what is bad. This is the nature of the human being. We realize it's cold outside because Allah has blessed us to experience a summer and a spring. And so therefore we know the difference. We know that it is daylight because inshallah ta'ala in a few hours we know the night comes. We learn through opposites. That is how the human being advances, and that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nature that He created for the intellect. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for us in order to learn something that represents all evil, that is the shaitan, and those things that He says will lead you away from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Those are evil things. Not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for you, because you must come under His rule. This is for your advancement as far as to understand the differences between good and evil, right and wrong. Again, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the author of all things. He is the creator of all things. Nothing comes into existence without His leave, without its destiny coming with it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows that the way that He created this dunya, this realm, this experience, that it will confuse you. It is created to tempt you. It is created to feed into what the soul, the nafs, the self, pardon me, will incline to. لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُورٍ. It inclines to its own self-destruction. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this dunya is an illusion. And Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He warns us. And it may be that you dislike a thing. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا, that you hate something. وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, and it's good for you.
that you like something. تحبوا شيئا. You love it. But it is evil. شر لكم. والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. And Allah knows and you don't know. These are His words. So we must be careful, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, trusting that He knows and we don't know. We cannot use our limited experience. We are on this earth all of a sneeze. Achoo, and gone. That's it. That's it. In the span and the life of this earth, we are literally a breeze that has blown and gone and forgotten. And so we're going to use that to judge what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made good and bad. We're going to use that limited, small, inferior intellect to decide, oh no, this is good for me. I don't care what it says. I'm not trying to hear that, brother. We're in America, brother. This is good. This is all right. Allah knows, and you do not know. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created this world as a temporary existence. And He created the end to be forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't cheat us. And it's very important to understand this. See, we're in this country and we know that its base is capitalism. What that means. If I can get over on you, it's all good. Period. I get something for a penny and you will buy it for $100 or $1,000? No problem. It's your fault for not knowing how to get it for a penny. And it's to my gain. That is this country. Period. Oh, you ain't a doctor, you can't cure yourself. Oh, that's just really too bad. Oh, you can't get no transportation, you can't buy a house for cash. Tisk tisk. That's your problem. And that's how it goes here. The thing is that this is so prevalent, the Muslim must be on guard not to let that creep into his heart and into his intellect and his frame of reference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cheat His slaves. We must really understand that at bottom. Allah does not cheat His slaves. And thus He, in His infinite wisdom, mercies us in how He metes out the dunya to us. Read in the Quran, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, in Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the two companions, the two friends, and the two guardians. And by the mere fact that this man's intellect was weak, his understanding weak, he thought, because of what Allah had given him in wealth and abundance, as he said, he told his friend, I got more than you, I got a better guard than more kids. And I don't think this will ever end further and further, because the dunya had twisted his mind. He thought because what he had was good. And because what that good represented, that he was all good. Oh, and even if I go back to God, I'm going to get better than this. That's what he says. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and he entered his garden, wa dhalama li nafsi. He wronged, oppressed himself. He did evil to himself, thinking that this, oh, this ain't gonna never end. And this is what happens to the one that sometimes on the last one to Allah, the worst thing he can do to you is leave you to yourself. He would say, oh, thunder and lightning come down to you, Allah gonna put through you. No, the worst thing he can do, leave you to yourself. And that man being left to himself wronged himself. He wronged himself. Because his understanding where he put value was in the dunya. About having all of the dunya. About having so much, and he puffed up with pride. Oh, look at me. And we look at him and say, yeah, I wish I had what you had. That's the problem. We look at him and he looking at himself, and both of us wrong. And so again, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it's important that we understand what this dunya is about for the Muslim. For the Muslim. It's not to fill your pockets with the dirt of the dunya. And it's all dirt. Give it enough time. It'll be dirt. Give it enough time. It will go to dust. Just like we, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, those of us who have children, they'll jump up and down. Oh, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. Cookies and candy all day. If we did that, they would love us to death. But we kill them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom, He mercies us in how He gives us of this dunya. Always reminding the Muslim, don't get too attached. Understand, have the proper perspective. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us, in His book, Inna kunna mundhirin, we are always warning. Warning us, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this dunya is an illusion. It's strong. It's powerful. It's seductive. And it will devour you. Among the good things, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, again, that we remind you, and at the same time, by reminding you that it's good, its opposite is evil. Trust in Allah is the good thing. And it's no coincidence that trust and wealth share a very long history and relationship. The only time we start discussing trust is when there's something valuable at stake. And unfortunately, most of us put a higher value on our money than anything. We'll give you our kids before we give you our money. Now, a'udhu billah. You'll put them at a daycare without checking them out, but somebody say, invest $1,000 over here. Well, I need some proof, brother. Who are you? Where are you going to take my money? All of this. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the Muslim must work to build through knowledge and action complete trust in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, don't trust the dunya. It will not remain. It is not going to last. It is addictive. It is harmful for you. It has no real value. Why? Because it won't remain. When we bury you, we take all of it off of you. So it is not good. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made it as a very silent but prevalent example for all of the human beings. In this place, in this part of the dunya, on this earth, every everything that we know of this earth. You say earth, it means dirt. You say earth, we know dirt. And dirt, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, has this common quality. If you put good in it, you get good out of it. You put bad in it, you get bad out of it. It grows weeds as well as wheat. And so that saying, you reap what you sow, is true. This is the dunya. And Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blesses the Muslim by pointing out that the best seeds are good deeds. The best seeds in this dunya are good deeds. And the best place to plant them, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, are in the gardens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, again Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قل, say, surely my Lord gives wealth in abundance to whomsoever He pleases and restricts it to whomsoever He pleases among His slaves. And whatever you spend in His cause of good, He will replace it. And He is the best of providers. وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ رَازِقٍ. Now, perhaps we can take a practical lesson and gain a better understanding of this ayah from a Muslim that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed to live nearly 1,000 years ago. He was from the descendants of the Ansar, a judge by the name of Abu Bakr Abdul Baqi al-Ansari. Now he settled in Baghdad and returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 535 after Hijrah. Near the end of his life, he was asked how he had become so wealthy. And what we relate here, inshallah ta'ala, was his reply. He said, I was living in the holy city of Mecca. May Allah protect it. And there came a time when finding a halal living was very, very difficult for me. Time wore on and my income dwindled to where I found myself with less and less to eat. This got progressively worse, to the point that I would have gladly worked for food. One day, while I was scavenging, I found a small sack of animal feed lying discarded in the street. And not seeing anyone who had dropped it, I snatched it and took it home, hoping that my wife might be able to make a meal out of it. So I got home, hurriedly opened the sack, spilled out its contents, and amongst the feed was the most beautiful, exquisite, expertly crafted pearl necklace that I had ever seen. I remind you here, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us in His book, Al-Malu wal-Banun, Zinatul Hayatid Dunya. Wealth and children are but ornaments, decorations for this life. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us, وَتُحِبُّ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. And you love wealth violently. And so, Abu Bakr, he said to his inquirer, as he related his past, when I held the pearl necklace in my hand, I felt like I was on top of the world. And so it wasn't long before I found myself back in the street headed to the market to exchange it. Just as I was walking along, I so happened to pass an old man who was screaming at the top of his lungs, "Who found a small sack of grain? Who has it? Whoever gives it to me. I have 500 dinars for him. Where is the sack?" His shouting got louder and louder and louder as he became more desperate. And my hunger was so great that I could barely walk and would have simply traded the necklace for food. And it took me a moment before I realized that in fact he was looking for me. And my hunger whispered to me, "Keep the necklace, just give him the sack." And I might have heeded that advice had it not been for my faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I rebuked the whisper of the shaitan and called to the man saying, "I have what you're looking for." So I begged him to follow me home. And I arrived just as my wife was boiling the water but had not cooked any of the grain. So I asked him to describe the sack. And he did, perfectly. So I returned the contents to the sack and gave it to him as I found it. "Here is your sack, as well as what I found inside." The old man said, "This is for you." And he placed the 500 dinars before me. But I refused. He was stunned. He said, "It's yours. It's the reward." But again, I refused to take it. In spite of my hunger, my lack of resources, my lack of hope for feeding my family, I felt that the gain was not honest. And that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may call me to account for enriching myself due to someone else's misfortune. And so for the face of Allah, I finally refused. So he left me. And he said, with all honesty, "Jazakallahu khair." May Allah give you better. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, continues Abu Bakr, still hungry and penniless, I left home searching for something better. And so Abu Bakr, he found his way to the docks of Jeddah, hoping to gain some work as a deckhand. And it wasn't long before he stumbled upon a ship who took him in. So they loaded the ship's hull, and the ship set sail. Abu Bakr continues, "No sooner than we reached the open sea, the ship struck something and cracked the hull wide open. All of the cargo and everybody spilled into the ocean. And the ocean swallowed them up, leaving none but me drifting in the middle of the sea, clinging to driftwood. I just knew that this would be my grave. But despite of that, despite knowing my fate, due to hunger and exhaustion, sleep overcame me. And before I knew it, I was fast asleep in the middle of the ocean." Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Abu Bakr woke to find himself surrounded by people that he had never seen before. He said, "I was surprised, number one, that I was alive, and number two, that I was still in the dunya. All around, people were busy wrapping me and
nursing me back to health. But I didn't recognize my surroundings. And Almighty Allah SWT blessed me to gain my strength and find that I was far, 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 far from home. On an island somewhere in the middle of the sea. With no way off the island, I settled in and resumed my habit of reciting the Holy Quran aloud after the Salah. And I soon discovered that I had a very wide audience. And with that, I came to understand that they knew Islam, but very little. They were Muslims and had built a masjid, but they did not know the language. And so they asked me, "Do you know how to write Arabic, the language of the Holy Quran?" I said, "Of course." So they said, "Okay, teach our children and we will compensate you handsomely." And so they did. And this was my life on an island in the middle of the sea. I had never been so comfortable and at ease, and although I missed my family, so much time had gone by that I was sure that my wife thought I was dead and had moved on. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, he said, it was not long before the people had noticed that I was homesick. And they came to me saying, "Look, at the moment we have no way to return you home. But there's a young woman who was orphaned a while ago, and she's alone with nothing. We believe it would be good for you, for both of you, if you took her as your wife." I kindly refused. And they persistently insisted. They put forth every argument until finally I gave up and agreed to marry this young woman. And this is how I found myself standing before the imam and the islanders at the middle of a wedding ceremony. When they brought in the young woman, they decorated her in the best that they can find, and she was beautiful. And I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. And as she drew closer, my eyes fell upon her neck, and I could not believe what I saw. There, draped around her, just as beautiful as the day I first laid eyes upon it, was the exquisitely crafted pearl necklace. The wedding ceremony, he said, it was a blur because all I could do was stare in disbelief at the pearl necklace around her neck. Even after the vows were exchanged, my gaze did not move off of the pearl necklace around her neck. And the people became concerned. "You have yet to look in the eyes of your wife. You married a woman, not a necklace." And even with these words, it was not until they shook me that I came to my senses. "What's the problem with you?" they said. And so I told them the story. At the end, they were dazed and they began shouting, "La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar." So I was confused. "What am I missing?" I asked. The leader among them smiled and he said, The old man who offered you 500 dinars in return for his sack, your wife is his daughter. He came to this island with his child and reared her for a short time before it was clear that he would be near death. And before he died, he was deeply worried about who might marry his daughter, and he spoke about you and your refusal to take a reward that was not your right. And he often said, "I have never met anyone like this man who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as he does." And thus his last words before returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in tears, crying to Allah, "Oh Allah, bless my daughter to marry that man." Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Abu Bakr Abdul Baqir al-Ansari was blessed with two sons from this marriage. And it was not long after that that their mother returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving the necklace as part of their inheritance. And it was not long after that, as Abu Bakr said, that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called my sons back to him as well. And thus the necklace fell into my hands. And I was blessed to return back to the Arabian Peninsula. And I was blessed to sell the necklace for 100,000 dinars. Roughly $10 million today. And this, he said, mashallah, is how Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drove the wealth to me that you see before you. Again, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and whatever you spend, you will be repaid. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, if I can briefly return to this concept that we are encouraged to have, tawakkal, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can only come through knowledge and action. The knowledge of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. The knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has our best interest at heart. The knowledge that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have one or more of us in a crucible, in a situation that is tough for our own benefit. As he says in his book, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ to try أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Which of you are best in action? Now that I told you, what you gonna do? What are your deeds? Allah knows it. Allah knows what we're gonna do. We don't know what we're gonna do. And so we can worship Him hoping against His punishment, or we can worship Him because He deserves it. And that's the greater blessing, that's the greater status, the greater level, the greater understanding. Understanding that our tawakkal, our trust, our hope is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the dunya. That we already have the best friend if we take him as a friend, if we take him as a trustee, a wali. You don't need to know a Donald Trump or Oprah Winfrey or a Tiger Woods. Those, they're not going to help you. If Allah decides, then they're not going to help you. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks in the Holy Quran, if you have all of the earth, who's going to help you against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What army is going to help you against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what army can defeat you if Allah got your back? Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we can't trust what we don't know. We can't trust what we don't know. We have to work. We have to put in some effort. We have to show some appreciation. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we will understand there is no better investment than with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no place that you can put your money to make it grow, really grow, than with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no better reward than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you. Speaking of this man who was of the Ansar, his forefathers who got that title when they met Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen, please, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we read their stories and we, some of us wish, oh man, I wish that could have been me. Okay, well Allah gave you just as good if you have your eyes open. First, let me tell you why you're getting just as good. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spoke about these people. He gave them a title. And the people, the companions, they're with him. So who are you talking about? Who are they? He said, these are the ones who believe and support the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they never saw me. They never saw, heard, spoke. They don't know nothing. All they heard was about me. But they give like they live among you. So when the Ansar met Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the first time, before they got this title, Ansar, Nasara means to help, the helpers. They asked Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay, we take you in, and this is human beings, and they got the right. We take you in, give you our food, we give you our home, what are we going to get? What's in it for us? One word. Jannah. Mind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to give you half of what we get when we go back into Mecca. You know, we take it over and then it's, you know, we're going to divvy it up. He didn't say, I'm going to make you a king or I'm going to make you this. And I need you to understand that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the bargain in Islam. You give something of this world that is temporary. What's Allah going to do with it? It's His already. It already belongs to Him. But He wants to see what you're going to do with it. He gives it to you. Are you going to give it back? Are you going to invest something with Him above what you need? He's not saying give it all. But what you don't need, are you going to do that? If you do, I'll give you. You giving me something that's dirt, I'm going to give you something that's real. All he has said to them, Jannah. They were like, good. Alhamdulillah. And look, we're talking about them 1,500 years later. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this is this deen. This is what we have signed up for. And if we don't know, it's our obligation to know. To learn as much as we can. And if we feel we can't know, then at the very least we should support. This is our charge. This is why we are here. This is what it means. This is faith in action. This is what it means to be a Muslim. So I remind you as I remind myself what Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he called the masjids the gardens of paradise. He called them the gardens of paradise. So dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this is the soil and the seeds are what you plant here. Invest wisely. Don't cheat yourself. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't cheat you. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إسرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.